welcome everybody tonight, and this is our first installment of our flight plan. I imagine everybody's been going, "What in the world are you talking about?" And so we're gonna help you understand what that is. And so we hope that when we come and we get started, let's try to get started on time, because I don't want to keep y'all later than 7:30. So we want to each time get started on time. And so as people come in, I guess if she comes, then you can just take care of that. But so anyway, let me give you an explanation about what my flight plan is. Now, before we do that, we want to open in prayer, obviously. And so I am going to ask my wife to open in prayer as we get started. Amen. Amen. Now, we're looking at a number of pages here, and don't be afraid of all that. It's going to go a lot quicker than you think. But I wanted you to have this information so that you can come back to it. And now we've been talking a long time about new things, about a new path, and what we believe is not changing. Let me just tell you that. And what we believe isn't changing, but how we structure things is changing. And what this is an orientation to help people understand where we are and where we're going. And so let's look on the first page there. They're number one, and let's look at what is the purpose of my flight plan. Now, you see it says my flight plan. So take each one needs to take this to heart personally. When we're going through this, don't be thinking about anybody else but yourself. Amen? Because as we've been teaching for quite some time, we each want to take personal responsibility for our relationship with the Lord. And so if we're going to move forward together as a church, then each of us personally and corporately need to know where we really are in God. Isn't that, you think that's an important thing? Because in our society, we have a lot of people who think they're right with God, and they're not, because they're not being taught the right things and they're not living the right way. Amen? And so what this is establishing the standards and the path, the standards that we as a body are going to live by, and also it's establishing the path that each of us are going to take if we're going to walk in leadership here. Now, each person has different giftings and different callings, and all of that's going to come out as we go. But everybody needs to understand it so that as we move forward, then everybody is on the same page. Amen? It's very rare that if everyone has the same information, they can operate the same way. But if everybody has different information, it's going to be hard to be in unity, isn't it? And so that's why it's very important for anybody that calls themselves part of Antioch to be part of this. So that's one of the reasons we're making sure we're recording it. It's going to be posted on the website. And I know most of you in here, a lot of you in here don't do the website. So it's definitely important for you to be here if you don't do the website. But so everybody needs access to this material. Amen. So what is the purpose of my flight plan? And so I'm just going to read this, and then we're going to get right on into the teaching. For every believer, there must be a place to begin our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as a step-by-step process to come to maturity. Even though the steps are clearly defined by Scripture, the experience, though similar in nature to all believers, is quite unique, because every person comes to Christ with different issues and flaws that need to be addressed. Now, not only do they come with different issues and flaws, but we come with different doctrines that have been taught to us over the years And so we want to establish for everyone what it is we believe so that people can say, yes, I want to be part of this, or no, I don't want to be part of that. Amen? So we want to establish clear doctrine, because in our world today, doctrine is not real clear. Come on. Oh, you can go on to the back, hon. You got... So doctrine is not real clear. There are a lot of preachers who don't talk about a lot of things they ought to be talking about. There are a lot of preachers who just leave out great parts of the word just so everybody can feel good. Well, we're not like that. And that's why we're not busting at the seams with people. Amen? Because there is a standard. There have been a lot of people who have come and gone from this ministry over the years, and a lot of them have come and gone because we have a standard. And when they're confronted with the standard of the word, then you know, if they just want their ears tickled, there's plenty of places they can go and do that. But so what we want to do is raise up disciples, amen? And so we're going to raise up disciples to the word and disciples to Christ, not disciples to us, amen? And so then our doctrine must be clear, and so this is showing the path that we need to take to learn the doctrine, to be part of what's going on as things begin to progress forward. Amen? And so, therefore, it is imperative for us to know that our maturity is determined by the spiritual fruit we produce. Well, let me just say this, okay? It doesn't matter how long you've been saved. You could be saved 50 years or 100 years and still be a baby Christian. Your spiritual maturity is determined by how you apply the word in a day-to-day basis in your life. How that you function as a believer, not just go to a service, amen, to feel good about yourself, amen. So if you are a disciple of Christ, if we want to raise up disciples, then we need to understand that the measuring rod of our maturity is obedience to the word and spiritual fruit measured by the word. Not by how we feel, not by how long we've been here, not by how many churches we've been a part of, not by anything except are we bearing spiritual fruit. Amen? All right, so the steps we will be taking, talking about, are relative to the level of spiritual fruit and is not related to time or experience. I just said that. The fact is that the fruit we need to produce cannot be produced by simply attending services. You know, most people that go to church in America today are just attendees. They just attend services. They're not disciples of Christ. And we want to be clear of who we are. That when new people come in, that we want to raise up disciples. That we're not here to tickle your ears and make you feel good. We're here to help you learn how to come into agreement with God's word in every area of your life. Amen? And that's a powerful place to be. It is a conscious effort to apply biblical truth in our everyday lives. We want to help you understand that there is a place for everyone to participate at ACM. We want you to have a clear understanding of how we function so you can produce great fruit and enjoy interacting with the body of Christ here at Antioch. You are loved, and we want every person to reach their fullest potential. Leadership is open to everyone, but there is training and there is a defined path to achieve it. Whether you came to us from an existing leadership function or you have just been born again, we want you to understand the path you will need to take to participate in leadership. And we want to welcome you to the process. There's room for everyone. And we have Ephesians 4, Romans 12, and 1 Corinthians 12. I want to encourage you to read those. We talk about them all the time. And so, but I do want you to read those. We don't have time to go into those tonight, but that is the foundation of how the body operates. Amen? So let's look at the scripture that's already printed out for us right here. Galatians 5, 22 through 25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Such no law. Come on in, Teresa. And those who are Christ's. Verse 24, very, very important verse. All and those who are Christ's, or those who belong to Him, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. This is a very powerful scripture. Number one, we see that the foundation, the standard in which we're going to live by, is the standard of spiritual fruit production. We look at all of these areas of our life and we evaluate our life and see where we fit. If we're operating in a mature fashion in the fruit of the Spirit, amen? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, verse 24, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. It's very important to say that because it's being taught all over the world right now that you can be born again and not repent of your sin. It's being taught all over the place. It is not scriptural. And you guys know because of what we teach. But we're not going to be the only ones who come in here. We're going to have people coming in here from all kinds of places. All right? And so it is actively being taught in many of the mega churches, and people look at that and say, wow, that's success. Well, if it doesn't line up with the scripture, that's not success. That might be a successful cultural country club, but it's not a church. Amen? So you can't measure success by how many people they got in the pews. The only measure of success for a Christian is right here. Galatians, what is your spiritual fruit? Amen? And so we're going to have to weed that out as people come in. Because they've been sitting under teaching that don't talk about the blood. They're sitting under teaching that doesn't talk about repentance. Sitting under teaching that says you can do whatever you want and it's okay. You're still saved and you're still going to heaven. Now, I just preached a message recently about living redeemed. Now, there is grace. But it is not just grace without measure. Amen? We still need to live holy lives. That's why verse 24 is so important. And it says, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So that means they have made a conscious effort to turn away from these areas of sin. And it doesn't mean they're going to live sinlessly, but it means they are making a conscious effort to turn to the government of God, to say, I'm going to do it your way. I love what Pastor Mac said, I think it was this Sunday. If Jesus isn't Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. Are you hearing me? So it's not okay, see, because people see church as some place you go. But church is not some place you go. Church is something you are. But you see, our culture doesn't comprehend that. That's why it's so important for us to set a standard in place right now so that people understand where we're coming from. So everybody that comes into this church is gonna go through this class. Okay? So that they can understand. At least this is the foundational part of understanding where we're coming from. Okay? Because we're not talking about just coming to church. Do we call you when you don't come to church? Yeah, most of the time we do. Why? Because it's important, Hebrews 10:25, for you to come to church. Amen? Because it's important for you, but it's also important for the body. Amen? Because we need you here. Amen? So we're incomplete without you. Amen? That's why it's important. And it's important because we can't produce the correct spiritual fruit if we're not fellowshipping with the body. Because this is the place where you learn how to walk in love and joy and peace, long-suffering and kindness. Amen? Because everybody is not easy to love. But as we function together as brothers and sisters, we learn how to love. We learn how to have long-suffering. Amen? We learn how to have patience. We learn how to produce spiritual fruit. But if we refuse to engage the body, then we're not going to grow in those things. Amen? All right? And so it's important for everybody to know where we're coming from. We want to make disciples. Amen? Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples. He never said, go make converts. He said, go make disciples. Amen? And that's people who have made a conscious effort to follow his law as out of the free will of their own heart to choose to follow him rather than follow the world. And if you have not made the choice to turn away from the world and follow him, then I hate to tell you, you're not born again. Regardless of what popular preachers preach, you are not born again if you have not made a conscious choice to follow God's word and his law. Amen? Now, do we need grace to accomplish it? Yes, we do. It's grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. Amen? But the fact is that there is a standard and that there is work for us to do to learn how to live that standard. It doesn't just come automatically. Amen? So a functioning body is here for every believer to be in the process of making sure that we are actively involved in personal spiritual growth and corporate spiritual growth. Amen? Does that make sense? So that's what my flight plan is about. It's about personally taking the responsibility to know where we are and where we're going, but also to help you understand that when new people come, we as people that have been here for a while need to be able to guide them. See, what's a flight plan? It's setting a course. Amen? You don't see an airplane doesn't go into the air without filing a flight plan. Are you hearing me? So they don't just fly anywhere they want to fly. No matter how big or how small the aircraft is, it doesn't go anywhere unless they file a flight plan. That means they go from point A to point B. Are you hearing me? But most people look at their spiritual life and just think, well, you know, I go to church. But they see no personal responsibility. They never plot a course from being born again to spiritual maturity. As a matter of fact, they don't comprehend it. So how can they plot a course if they don't comprehend it? Our culture is, by and large, void of understanding that, even in the church these days. It's a sad thing, but it's true. All right. Now, one of the foundations of what we believe, I want to keep moving forward. One of the foundations of what we believe is called relational authority. And we want to talk about relational authority because that's how everything operates. We don't operate in an autocratic structure. We operate in relational authority. Now, so we see right here, number two, relational authority. Understanding authority that is not autocratic can be difficult because it is almost all we see around us. To really understand how it works, we must look at how God himself deals with mankind. And we're going to look at this real close. Because now, what is autocratic authority? Autocratic is top-down authority, like the general all the way to the private. That's top-down. Now, the church is not supposed to be autocratic in nature. It is supposed to be relational. Why is it supposed to be relational? It's supposed to be relational because that's the DNA of how God relates to us. Now, let me prove that out for you. Okay? Now, A, God has supreme authority, yet he does not demand of us to obey. What do you say? God wants us to obey. Yes, he does. But he wants our obedience to be a choice. It is not obedience by him making us obey. See, autocratic authority is you obey because I am the authority. See? Now, God has supreme authority. Nobody can remove him from his place of authority. Amen? So he obviously has supreme authority. Romans 13:1 says there is no authority anywhere that doesn't come from God. Amen? But his authority is different than earthly authority. Earthly authority is temporal or temporary. His authority is eternal. It cannot be taken away. So it doesn't matter if you're president or general, you're only that for a while. Amen? You're not that permanently. God, his authority is permanent. It's eternal. Amen? All right? So how he relates to us is by our free will. That means we have make a choice to serve him, a choice to follow him. Amen? So therefore, the authority in the church operates the same way. So we present the truth. So God presented us the truth of the word, and he said, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. He doesn't say you have to do it. He says, if you do it, you'll be blessed. But if you don't do it, you'll be cursed. But it has to be your choice. Are you hearing me? That's why it doesn't work to just bring a bunch of people in and try to make them conform to the word. Because if it's not by their own free will, they're not really conforming. It's external. And if it's external, then they're not really born again. You're just teaching them how to fake it. It has to be internal change. And that can only come when the will of the person has submitted to God and said, I will do it your way. Amen? And so God does have authority, but it's relational authority. In other words, it is a partnership. So relational authority is a partnership of saying, okay, God, you have all the authority, and I choose to come into agreement with that authority. So that's the way it works in the local church. Those that God has put in authority in the local church, we say, okay, if God puts you in authority in the local church, then I choose to submit to your authority by my own free will. Are you hearing me? See? And so, but that's why it's important for each person to know the word. See, in an autocratic structure, they say, just believe it because I said so. But one thing we always say here is, listen, if the word doesn't say it, don't believe it. I don't care if it comes from my mouth or whose mouth it comes from. If the word doesn't say it, don't believe it. Because the word is the authority. Amen? And so the authority in the local church is those people, those who have spiritual authority in the local church, are supposed to be people who have learned already to submit to God's authority. And so once, because they have learned to submit to God's authority, then they submit to his authority by their free will, and therefore the authority that God has established in the church, amen, then they submit to that authority because that has been put there by God. Make sense? All right, so it's not because I'm a general and you're a private. It's because God is in authority, and if God has put us here to have authority, then we submit out of our own free will. Amen? There's nobody saying, no, if you don't submit, we're going to whoop you. I mean, there are some places that are very legalistic that do that. We're going to punish you if you don't submit. But we're not going to do that. If you want to go your own way, all right, and the elders want to give you counsel and say, the word, any counsel we give you must line up with the word. It's not our opinion. It's not anything except the word. And if we give you an opinion, we're going to tell you, this is my opinion. But it's still up to you to obey. Amen? So the obedience is not really to us, it's to him. Amen? So that's what someone who has delegated authority is saying, look, I didn't get this authority on my own. This is his authority. And so I'm telling you, this is what he's saying. So now you have a choice to make. Are you going to obey him or not? Amen? So it's not about obeying me, it's about obeying him. But if I am here under his authority, you understand? If I'm truly here under his authority, then you submit only because you know that I'm submitted to him. Listen, there's a lot of confusion about authority in the body of Christ. We got to be very careful. Every believer has the same authority. Listen, every believer has the same authority. They have different gifts and different functions. And we're going to talk about that in more in greater detail. But it's different functions. The authority that we all have is love. And it comes from submitting to him. Amen? All right? And so it's impossible to do justice to this in just this short period of time. But if you have questions, let me know. Trust me, I have hundreds of hours, literally, I can teach you on this authority thing. So just let me know. All right? B. All right, so what does God do? He shows us how profitable it is to come to obedience. Here's the blessing. Here's the curse. All right, make a choice. So if you obey me, here's your blessing. That's showing how profitable it is. So if we say to you, the Word of God says this, if you want to live in sin, hello, if you want to live with someone and not be married, that's called fornication according to the Word. Amen. God's not going to bless that. Amen. So you have a choice to make. Are you going to follow God's word and get the blessing, or are you going to follow your own way and get the curse? That's the authority we have. And so all we have is the Word of God to say, this is God's way. Walk in it or don't walk in it. It makes sense. So each person has their own responsibility to be obedient to God's word. I can't be obedient for you. No one can be obedient to God's word but you. Are you hearing me? So that's why when people call and they say, oh, I'm all in a mess, Pastor. And you say, okay, what kind of choices are you making? Okay, so if you're making choices according to the word, then your mess is going to be a whole lot less than if you're making choices according to your way. Amen? It makes sense. All right? So he shows us how profitable it is for us to come to obedience. See, he loves us, receives us, and nurtures us into a relationship with himself. So with a relationship with God, it's not that he doesn't force us to have that relationship, but over time, he woos us. Are you listening? See, he calls us and says, look, this is my way. Walk in my way. You see what I'm saying? That's relational authority. Up there writing rules for you to follow. He's saying, this is for you. This is to bless you. See? So walk in it. Walk in it. Please walk in it. So he calls us. When Rebecca and I first got married, you know, I thought I was going to make her become what I thought she ought to be. And anybody that's been married knows that doesn't work very well. All right? And so the Lord taught me a really powerful lesson. He said, do I do that with you? I said, well, no. And he said, well, how come you're doing that with her? And God began to show me that all authority in the body of Christ is just like that. That we don't demand people to follow, but we entreat them to follow. Amen? We relate to them. It's okay. I know you failed this time, but it's okay. God's word says go this way and it'll right the course. Are you hearing me? So no condemnation. It's okay, get back on the horse. Okay, look, come on, the word says this. Our whole admonition is obey the word. Obey the word. Come on, you can do it. Obey the word. Keep going forward. Don't quit. Obey the word. See, that's relational authority. Say, listen, I've done it. It works. You can do it too. Obey the word. Obey the word. See? And so it's not the rules and regulations, but it is the loving and treating of the Father through relationship with himself and through leadership, where he nurtures us into a relationship with himself. D, to function on a spiritual level, we must have a heart transformation brought on by intimacy with him. Listen, if someone's not born again, if you see someone who is trying over and over again, I'm going to be good this week. I'm going to be good this week. I'm going to be good this week. Listen, if they're doing that in their flesh, they will always fail. Becca? If they're doing it in their flesh, they will always fail because they have to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to be able to do it God's way. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So when you see someone who rises and falls, and that's where a lot of people start. But once you become born again, you have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to obey. Are you hearing me? But when people just do it in the flesh, I gotta be good, they're always gonna fall. They're always going to fail. But when they say, God is good, I serve him because he's good. And you see, it is his righteousness in you that begins to live out on the exterior. Are you understanding? So it's not in the old way this is taught, you just fake it till you make it. But that's not God's way. He wants your heart transformed. He wants your heart to want to obey him. He is never going to force you to obey. Even he might be standing there weeping because you refuse to obey, but he will not force you. Why? Because if he forces you, then that's not love. And God is incapable of functioning out of love, outside of the love principle. You understand what I'm saying? So God is incapable of that. He can't do it. He won't do it because God doesn't just have love. He is love. He's the essence of love. He is the seed of love. You see what I'm saying? He can't function outside of that character. So he won't force you, put you in a headlock, and make you obey. See, we need to understand. I learned this way too late. That's how we need to teach our children to follow Christ too. Because we need to teach them that you don't serve God for me. You don't serve God because people look at you funny. You serve God because you want to serve God. And if you don't serve God because you want to serve God, you need to understand where your heart is. Ask me, you know, where do you think I am? I said, I don't think you're born again. Because you need too much external motivation to do good. Are you hearing me? External motivation only teaches you how to do it on the outside. Internal motivation is when you're born again and the Spirit of God is teaching you how to follow him. Are you understanding me? It's a powerful principle. And you see, if we don't understand that as the way God operates, then we totally misunderstand how the church is supposed to operate, because then we try to make it an autocratic structure when it's not. It's a relational structure. So we try to make people submit instead of to submit. Are you hearing me? We've had many times people come to us and say, especially wives say, I need you to fix my husband. Well, good luck with that. Listen, we have no authority to fix your husband. If your husband doesn't obey the word, he will always be broken. Are you listening to me? But that's with every person. It's not always the husband's fault. I'll just leave that alone. We've got too many women in the room. So what I'm saying is, each person needs to have a heart transformation. It is a love-based system of mercy that patiently helps us to grow and mature. Are you hearing me? Not just a bunch of rules. F, it is not an autocratic system that demands outward compliance, disregarding the condition of the heart. You've all heard me use the illustration of Johnny in the back seat. And they're driving down the road, and Johnny's running around in the back seat. He's not in his car chair, or he's not in the buckled up. And his dad says, "Johnny, if you don't sit down, I'm going to stop the car and I'm going to whip you." And so he keeps going, and dad pulls the car over. And Johnny, as soon as dad pulls the car over, Johnny sits down and buckles up. And Johnny says, "I'm buckled up on the outside. I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside." See, why is it so hard in the modern church for us to comprehend that it takes a heart transformation to do this? Because we've gotten such bad teaching on what the gospel is, number one. We've gotten bad teaching on what repentance is. We've gotten bad teaching on what obedience is. We've gotten bad teaching that says you don't. All you do, you just get born again, get them in the gate. That's all you got to worry about. But the word doesn't tell us to go and make converts. It tells us to make disciples. Amen. That we need to teach people how to follow with a heart attitude of on purpose following God. Listen. If people that come in here don't want to follow God, we can't make them follow God. There's nothing we can do to make them follow God. If they choose to obey the word, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, lest ye be deceived, they will either choose to obey or they'll choose to deny the word or rebel against the word. And so the word is clear. If you rebel against the word, if you're not a doer or an active applier of the word, then you're automatically deceived. That means that everything you get when you're in deception comes through deception. You don't get a pure voice. Are you hearing me? You can't hear God clearly because you're in rebellion. The word says you're automatically in deception. But you don't know it or recognize it because you're deceived. That's the nature of being deceived. But if you'll just obey the word, then all of a sudden the light comes on. Gotta move. Disobedience is still disobedience. Rebellion is still rebellion. The difference is grace and our heart attitude. So when you find yourself in rebellion, what do? Repent. But if repentance isn't part of your doctrine, you're stuck, buddy. You got nowhere to go. Are you hearing me? So what is repentance? It's turning away from it. Stop doing it. Are you hearing me? It's being preached over and over again. You can do whatever you want. It's okay. You're still in. But that's not what the word says. The word says to repent and obey the word. Amen? So it's still rebellion. It's still disobedience. It doesn't change the consequences of rebellion and disobedience just because he won't make you do it. Let me say that again. It won't change the consequences of disobedience and rebellion just because he won't make you do it. As a matter of fact, it is a higher level of responsibility to the person who has the blood of Jesus Christ, who has the word, and who looks at it and goes, I will not obey. Are you hearing me? It's a higher level of responsibility. Amen? And there's a scripture I could go there, but I don't want to go there right now because I'll be there all day. But it's very, very important for us to understand that that's where all the authority in the church comes from. Amen? It's not an ecclesiastical authority. It's not because I can ordain you. It's not because we have this organization that can lay hands on you and ordain. It's not. That authority is nothing if we don't have a relationship. That's why the scripture says not to lay hands on any man suddenly. If you don't know him, don't lay hands on him. It's talking about ordination. Amen? All right? Let me move quick. So authority, this is A down there, authority and freedom must coexist. A lot of people think you have to control it, otherwise it's going to be totally out of control. Well, that's not true. Because what is the purpose of coming into agreement with the Holy Spirit is that you begin to do things differently by your own free will. Why? Because your free will has been altered because the Holy Spirit now lives in you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So autocratic authority is there to bring order to people who have no internal authority. Listen to what I'm saying. So in other words, so in the military, for instance, they want to take all the people that come into boot camp and they want to make them compliant to a system, okay? They want to make them uniform. They want everybody to do the same thing, say the same thing, act the same way, do this. But that's not God's way, because he gives us each different gifts, different callings, different, you understand? He doesn't want uniformity. He wants unity. It's a totally different thing. See, unity is we all come into agreement with him. That's unity. Okay? And that's the purpose of this kind of teaching, so we can all be on the same page. Amen? So authority and freedom must coexist. We're not here. Is there ever a time when we stand up and we say, that's out of order? And if we do that, yes, there is a time. Well, we take the scripture and we say, that's out of order because the scripture says this. But there's freedom to move in the gifts. Sunday was a good example. All right? Mark had a word of exhortation. He came and he gave that word of exhortation. There was freedom for him to do that. No one hit him on the head. No one broke his legs. No one pulled him aside after and said, oh, brother, you're not a pastor. You don't have the authority to do that. Every believer has the authority to do that. Now, in order, decently and in order, amen? And so sometimes there is a time when the elders, who are supposed to be better at this because we're more experienced at it, say, okay, that's not the way you do it. It's not squashing you. It's saying, okay, the word says this is how we're supposed to do that. So next time, let's try to do it that way. You see? It's not coming in and spanking you. It's coming and saying and teaching you the way. Are you hearing me? That's where freedom and authority coexist. It's where we have the freedom to function in our gifts, but understand that when authority comes in and says, don't do it that way, then they're operating on a higher authority. Because we're not going to tell you don't do it that way unless we can give you chapter and verse. Are you hearing me? See? And so you always have a voice. Amen? But if we're going to debate the word, let's debate the word. Let's don't debate what we think about the word. Let me just leave that alone. Amen? All right. So I said all that to help us understand relational authority. And I want to quickly go over a couple of things. We've got about 15 more minutes. And so what this is, this bottom where it says infant stage down there. Now, We're going to move quickly from there over into the second page, but I want to spend just a little bit of time here. Many people think that they're born again just because they go to church. That's not true. You see, now, has anybody in here ever signed a list that says that you're a member of Antioch? You haven't done that. Why do you think you haven't done that? Because it takes more than your signature to be a part of Antioch. It takes you. Are you hearing me? Because it's a covenant agreement. See, just like your relationship, personal relationship with God is by covenant. When you come to the body of Christ, then it is by covenant. In other words, I'm in or I'm not in. It's not, I came here one time on Christmas 8 years ago. That's my church. That's not in. See? That doesn't determine that you're part of the body of Christ. So it's not a membership, but it is a covenantal agreement. So there are a lot of people who go to church for many years and they never get past stage one because they don't understand their responsibility to be a disciple. It's not all their fault, but it is partly their fault. Excuse me. It is partly their fault. I thank God I got an editing tool back there. Because they have the Word of God. Amen? Are you hearing me? And so each person is personally responsible for their own growth. It is not my job to grow you up. It is my job to give you the tools to grow you up. Are you hearing me? So that way, see, so you see this from the new birth to the diaconate. Many people that come are only initiates. They're only people who just come to participate in public events. They're just seekers of God, but they're not really in covenantal agreement with God. There are people who've done go to church for 50 years. And have never had a covenant agreement with God. How sad. But stage two, see, we're going to have many people that come in stage one. They might come from different churches. But they're gonna get an understanding when they get here that, you know what, that's all I do. That's all I do is just participate in public events. I don't really have a personal covenantal relationship with Jesus. And I don't have a covenantal relationship with the body. I'm just a seeker. I'm not even born again. Then you go to number two, go to page two. You get born again. You become a believer. Many people stay there and never get past being an initiate, a seeker, because they don't understand that there is a clear biblical process. Amen? And you see Acts 2, 36 through 41, 38 through 41, down there on number 1. And those scriptures are there so you can look it up, because if I looked them all up right now, trust me, we would never get through this. So they become believers. This is where they have a true born-again experience. Where we begin to teach them about the covenantal nature of the church. So that's the purpose. So when they become born again, then we begin to teach them the foundational principles about biblical responsibility to God, to grow in God, to be a disciple. That's where they get the milk of the word. That's where they just get the blessings and they get healed. But you see, they're just new believers, just like a newborn baby. They're just getting the milk. So they're just getting to the place where they can't even, until they get to that place, they can't even grow spiritually. It's impossible. So then you get to a place, number three, where you become a member. See, people might be in the church for years and be a seeker and just become a believer, but they never get to the place where they become consciously a disciple of Jesus Christ. Are you hearing me? So the children's stage is where you become a member. I'm not talking about signing a form. I'm talking about where you say, this is part of my I have a covenant with Jesus, and I have a covenant with you. I'm in. See what I'm saying? That's when they truly begin to start being a disciple, was when they make a conscious choice to walk in covenant agreement with God and with the body. Amen? This is where you begin to fellowship with the body in a relational way that builds the hunger to grow in spirit life. That's where we begin to teach you some of the meat of the word that's going to help you to grow. And how does that? That's how you participate in covenant. How do you participate in covenant? Tithing is part of that covenant. Showing up to service is part of that covenant. Giving to your brothers and sisters in need is part of that covenant. Having relationships with your brothers and sisters outside of a church meeting is part of that covenant. See, you can't have a community-focused church if when you leave here, see, you aren't acting like the church. You're just going to church if when you leave here, you don't do anything to facilitate covenantal growth among yourselves. Are you hearing me? To reach out, not be selfish. That's covenant. It's giving of yourself. I could preach on that all day. So that's where you begin to be a member. And that's where you see right down here underlined, it says Cultivating Spirit Life Series. That's where you begin to sit under that teaching. When I get done with this, we're going straight into that. Okay? That's where the new member then, when they say, okay, I'm part of the covenantal agreement. So we don't want just everybody to do the Cultivating Spirit Life Series. Why? Because they need to make a conscious decision to be in covenant with you and with me. Do we want everybody to do it? Yes, we do. But we want them by their own free will to make that choice to step over and say, I'm in covenant. Are you hearing me? See? And there may be some people who go who start and they go and in the midst of that teaching they realize they're not born again and they begin to want to walk in covenant. So, but that's where we've been to really set the principles for disciples. So number four then, they truly become disciples. This is where you begin to consciously learn and apply spiritual principles to personal and corporate body life. That's where you begin to grow spiritual muscle. Amen? When you begin to be a disciple, a conscious learner of the Word of God, a conscious applier of the Word of God. Amen? And so that's when you're going to build spiritual muscle and you're applying your spiritual life, love, peace, joy, fruit, all of those things, the fruit of the Spirit. You can't do that by yourself. Listen, you will never develop spiritual fruit by yourself because every one of those fruit is the whole nature of each one of those things is that you have to get out of yourself to accomplish it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you can live in a cave and think you're doing great, but as soon as you got to deal with Bob, am I really saved? Well, the point is, you will never, when you stay disconnected from the covenantal body life, you will never grow to spiritual maturity. Ever, because you have to relate to people to grow spiritually. Amen? And sometimes when people get and they make a conscious effort to be disciples, then we have what is GMTI preliminary classes, Global Missions Training Institute. We have an institute here. It's been on hiatus for a little while because we need to develop some more students, but we're developing these areas right now. But what that means is you're going to get a deeper, listen, you are not going to grow spiritually just by coming to church on Sunday and Wednesday. You need to go deeper. You need to go broader. Amen? So you're not going to grow up. See, it's more and more responsibility, isn't it? That's why they call it growth. Amen? All right? So that's a Bible school that we have, a training institute. Once you become a disciple, then you're someone who wants to maybe participate in some of those classes. And I'm gonna stop right here because it's almost 7:30, and because we got if I get into the next part, I know we'll never get to. I'll do that next week. But so up to this point tonight, is everybody tracking with me? Anybody have any questions? That's why I want you to hang to these. Study them, bring them back, read those scriptures. If we go to each scripture, we're not going to have time to get through this. Don't want it to be an 18-week series. Okay? This is to give you an orientation, to help you orient yourself on where we are and where we're going and how do you fit into that. Amen? And so make sure you bring these pages back with you next week. And so are we sure that there are no questions? Yes, ma'am. How do you know that? Because you obey. That's your covenant. Your covenant is obedience out of your free will. No one's making you do it. See, that's a covenant. Okay? I mean, I can do a whole series on covenant, but we'll never get through this. But the point is, a covenant, in real short, easy form, a covenant is an agreement between one or more parties. You cannot have a covenant with yourself. Are you hearing me? There has to be another person to have a covenant with. So you have a covenant with God. That's why you can't grow spiritually without being in covenant. See? Because you can't be in covenant with yourself. It has to be two people consciously making an agreement. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you're making an agreement to follow God, to follow His Word. See, you've made that covenantal step. And you've made the covenantal step with the body. See? Because you serve the body, you're faithful, all of those things. So you've made those steps. Okay? And so that's a good question. And so week, we'll continue in this. But I want you to know that there's a lot of material here, but as we teach other things, we're going to fill in the blanks. But just so that you understand that this is an orientation. It's not supposed to be completely comprehensive for you to understand every single thing we believe. You understand? But it's the foundational principles of our value system and how we function. Amen? And the path for you to grow. Yes, sir. This particular one is 2 weeks.
Okay, so next week?
Next week will be this one again. That'll be the completion of the orientation. And after that, we'll go into Cultivating Spirit Life series. Yes, ma'am. So a lot of that is just for your own reference. Okay, I'm not going to try to teach that in its entirety. But it's there so that you can have the information there, okay? And so there'll be some of it that I touch, but I want you to have the information so that you can read it. Now, one other quick thing. And the last, this is a diagram about how all this functions, all right? And don't even look at that right now. It'll confuse you, all right? But this is, you'll see two pages on here. It is a questionnaire. Now, after we do the next class, then I want you to take this questionnaire and I want you to fill it out. And then on the following week, I want you to bring it back to me. Make sure you put your name on it, filled out. And what that's going to do is going to help us understand where you are spiritually and where you want to function in the body so that we can plug you into the right place. Amen? So we can see that you are here in your spiritual life and you want to go here, we can plot a course. That's your flight plan. Amen? But if we don't know where you are and we don't know where you're going, we can't have a plan. Amen? So we want to go from point A to point B, but if you don't know what point A is, you're out of luck already. Amen? Any other questions? All right. Praise God. Brother Harry, I'm going to ask you to pray. And first, before you do that, let's pass the offering bag. You already done it? He done it. Praise God. Brother Harry, would you stand and close us in prayer, please?